Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying. What it says? Do not
worry.
Do not what?
Worry.
Worry. Worry. Worry. Worry. Worry. Worry. Worry. Worry. When you walk the streets and you look at the faces of people, they look worried. A lot of people are fearful. A lot of people are troubled. A lot of people are hard-pressed. A lot of people are confused. A lot of people are in a dark place because of worry. They're worrying about tomorrow. They're worrying about their children. They're worrying if they're going to get married. They're worried about their job. They're worried if they're going to ever be promoted. They're worried if they're going to get sick. You know, sometimes you're healthy and strong, and because somebody is sick in your family or they died from that sickness, you are now taking on the worry if you're next. Anybody ever heard of something like that or know someone that, or maybe you yourself experienced it? Because apparently in your bloodline, they say this, that, and that exists. And you're worrying, oh God, when is it going to show up? No, that's not faith. Amen? The word of God is telling us, therefore, what to do with worry? Don't do it. What it says? What it says? I'm not telling you to be callous, careless, and ignorant. But we're not to worry. Do not misinterpret. Do not say, oh, I'm not going back to work because Jesus said, don't worry. You know what's going to happen? You and your stuff is going to be on the streets. You better believe that. And don't call me. God, my phone don't work. Therefore, do not worry. Tell somebody, don't worry. Tell them, don't worry about it. Tell them it's going to be okay. The God that we serve will take care of it. You believe that this morning? Give me a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, can I teach you one more secret for miracle and breakthrough? It's unity.
Amen.
You know, Reinhard Bonnke, if you watch his crusades, go on YouTube and Google Reinhard Bonnke. It's a weird name. Say it to Google, Reinhard Bonnke. Because you probably can't spell Bonnke, and Reinhard might be a little difficult. But Google it, right? This man, you know, he's responsible for a large part of the revival that has taken place in Africa over the last 50 years. Right? Yeah. Him. CFN. That was the name of Christ for the Nations, their organization. And you know what he said? He said the key to their miracle service is everybody gets into oneness. They worship until everybody come to until everyone becomes one. Everybody becomes one. When it's time to say amen, everybody shouts amen. When it's time to say hallelujah, everybody shouts hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the miracles start to take place. The miracles start to take place. The miracles start to take place. You know, one reason this church has grown is because at the top, we are in unity. We put it this way, we knock one head. Because if you got 2-3 head move, trying to make a thing move, it's not going anywhere. In your homes, if you don't have unity, you feel the effect. You feel the effect. Let me see those of you who grew up and mommy and daddy was on different sides. Don't raise your hand. I grew up like that. My parents were pastors and still are. But it was division in the home because my dad wanted this way and my mom wanted it this way. And it was like this kind of thing. Like, but thank God we made it through. I'm serious. You know whose story is the best story? Your own story.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Your own story. Whose testimony defeat the devil with? Your testimony. But what I'm saying, unity, there is something. On the day of Pentecost, how were they? In one accord. How much accord? All of them was in 100 accord. They were all in one accord. 120 people, no accord is that big. Somebody just got the joke. But yes, they were all in one accord, Brother Robin. One accord. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came. If they were not unified, they could have never received the gift of the Holy Spirit. What makes us think in this church compared to the great apostles that walked with the Lord? The mighty generals. Men and women that encountered him and handled him and touched him and embraced him and rubbed with him. That they could have been unified, got the breakthrough, and we can be all over the place and expect breakthrough. Think again. That's right. We are missing it. If we're going to see the move of God, church, we have to be unified. We have to be in one mind, one spirit. Paul wrote to the Ephesians church and he said, be of one mind. Be of one mind. How many minds?
One.
How many minds?
One.
Wait, you got your own mind, but you got to subject your mind to what God is doing here. You got your own will, but you got to subject it to what God is doing here. That is the only way we will get the breakthrough, and the only way you will get the breakthrough. Because if you don't respect the God that stands in this house, meaning what God has entrusted into people's life, when the service leader stands here, you're on your phone, you're Googling, you're goofing off, you're doing your own thing, you're talking to your neighbor, you're not going to get the breakthrough. You know, that's why I think some people come and they find a corner. That's why nobody bothers them. And sometimes we don't like those people. We're like, why are you by yourself? But because people are very troublesome. Because they're not unified. This person's coming to church and they want to receive what is given. But you are doing this, doing that. And it's distracting. So that's why we do not see certain levels of breakthrough. Certain levels. Because the lack of unity. Are you saved? Yes. But you don't get the fullness without unity. Were the disciples saved on the day of Pentecost? Yes. But until they were unified, the Holy Ghost did not come. Yes. Are we understanding?
Yes.
Good. All right. So don't worry. Tell somebody, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Be unified.
Be unified.
Tell them again. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Be unified.
Be unified.
So this is the Lord saying back to 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying what we shall eat. I know today's Sunday, and everybody's got a Sunday dinner plan. We're going to eat fish later. We're going to eat oxtail later. We're going to eat stew peas later. You know, we're going to eat fried rice later. We're going to eat chow mein later. But the Lord is telling us right now, don't worry. Some of us are going to have steak later. We're going to have potatoes later. Mac and cheese later. Right? It's Sunday. Who doesn't like to eat good on Sunday? Put your hand up. We're in unity. He said, don't worry what you shall eat. What you shall drink. Or what you shall wear. This is Jesus talking to us this morning. He said, don't worry what you're going to eat. Don't worry what you're going to drink. And don't worry what you're going to wear. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Who seek? Meaning the unbelievers, the people who are not saved, who have not come into the kingdom. All they are worried about is outward things. That's what Jesus was painting here. He said all they worry about is what will satisfy this. What will make this feel good? What will make this feel easy? Why you think people take substances? It makes them feel good. Why you think people vape? It makes them feel good. Why you think people drink and get drunk? Because it makes them feel good. Why you think people go have sex with all kind of people? It makes them feel good. But here God is saying, I'm going to show you. He's saying, I'm showing you a way to operate in my kingdom. He says, don't worry about that, because that's what the unbelievers, that's what the people outside of the kingdom worry about. That is what they seek. That is what they are after. Let's put it that way. They are after that. Amen? Next, it says, for your heavenly Father, your who? Knows that you need all these things. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your people. I thank you, Lord, as we listen to your word, you'll break it to us, Spirit of the living God, and you'll fall afresh on us. You will just pour your oil on this word, that the Spirit of God may take it and marinate it into our hearts, and you will change us. Today we are changed. Today I am going to be changed by this word. I receive your word with joy, and in the name of Jesus, God, I pray as this word goes forth, I pray it will bring liberty. Liberation will come forth today in the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord is saying here, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not get caught up with seeking things that are trivial. Do not get caught up seeking external things. Do not get caught up seeking clothes and food and drink. But he says to them, your heavenly Father is aware that you have need for food. He knows that you need clothes. He knows that you need to drink. He knows you need water. You need soda. Oh, you like soda. He knows you need to like some tea. He knows you like some coffee. He said he'll satisfy your mouth with good things. And you will be fat and flourishing. Now, fat and flourishing does not mean, you know. Fat and flourishing just mean you're going to look good. Some of us take it over the top. Or over the front. Oh, God, yeah. He said you'll be fat and flourish. Why? To show that the Lord is good. To show that your heavenly Father is good. Why? If I have I have children. I always admire the way my wife takes care of her children. From they were little, you know, she'll always comb their hair, make sure they look nice. Why? So that they would look good. And to show that they come from a good home. Why do you think parents get mad with their kids? Like, let's say one of our children sleep out of the house, and then they meet us at church the next week. Like, Emily was famous for this. She would sleep out and come raggedy to church the next day. Boy! When we show up, we'll be so mad at her because it's not a good representation of our home. We have a picture of five people looking beautiful, and Emily was like looking like, oh God, we picked her up. Yes. You know why? Because she didn't come from home. There's a difference when you walk out of your home. We are living in the presence of God. We are at home with the Lord. We are in a kingdom. We are not living just in this world, but we are in the kingdom of God. So we ought to look a certain way. We ought to have a certain aura. You know, they say, man, there's something about that man there. There's something about that sister. Man, she always had that joy. She always had that bright smile. Oh, man, she's always so warm. Why? Because she is in the kingdom of God. So, the Lord is saying here to us, I am your Father. I know that you have need. Take your eyes off of what you see and let's go deeper now. Jesus goes on to say, your Father knows what you need, all these things. 33 now. Are we ready? Let's go together. What he says? Hold on. What he says? What the first word says? Shout it out. You dirty people. He says, but the great big but. This is one of the most important words in the Bible because it shifts our understanding. It's a word of adjustment. It's a word of adjustment because we are so focused on the externals of life. We're so focused on what we can afford and what we can't afford. We're so focused on our future that sometimes all of our life gets put on hold for a degree. All of our life gets put, your family, your children, gets neglected because of education. and we say it is for our future. But in the process, lives are getting messed up. People are neglected and hurt because of a degree. In the name of one day, if I get this degree, I'll be able to buy you this. We'll be able to live in this neighborhood. We'll be able to drive this car. But some people never make it to get this house, this neighborhood, this car, and they die broken, or they end up on drugs, and they end up in the wrong company because all your focus is on a degree. But Jesus is trying to adjust our mindset. Can I tell you, your spirit got this, but what he wants is your mind to get it.
Yes.
Your spirit man knows that you're saved. Your spirit man knows that you're in the kingdom of God. But it has to move from your spirit, the core of who you are, to the mind, to your way of thinking now, your way of processing life, the way you look at life. Your outlook changes, and this is where you get a kingdom perspective. You begin operating in this world, but not of this world. Hello? You begin to operate to understand that life is more than what a man wears, what a man eats, what a man drinks, where a man goes, the company the man has, the circle he is in, how much likes he gets on Facebook, how much comments he gets for his birthday. You understand it is way more than that. So Jesus is trying to align his people this morning. The Holy Ghost is in this room and he wants to align us. He said, don't build mansions for yourself. Lay up treasures in heaven. So, but if we would all live at the but, our lives would be different. It wouldn't smell, don't worry. If you would get the truth of the word. Because Jesus went on a whole line before. Let's go back up to 28. He says to them, oh my God. No, let's go back to 25. I didn't get to where I'm going yet. I'm taking you somewhere. But we're going to ride there. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Hello? Do not worry about your life. You're like, Pastor, that's heresy. I have to worry about my life. I have to think about my future. He didn't say don't think about it. But sometimes we get so consumed in the getting there. And when I'm 70, I must have this. And when I'm 30, I must have this rather. And when I'm 40, I must have this. And that and that and that. And we put so much pressure on ourselves. And we forget what is important. You know, today people don't want to get married because they don't want to have kids because kids hold them back. Yeah. Imagine your mom taught like that, where you would have been. Imagine your dad taught like that. He won't be here. People don't want to have children. You know why there's so much alternate lifestyle? It's because people refuse to live in the kingdom. They're not wicked. Last night this revelation came to me. People always do what is cool in the moment. If partying hard is cool, they'll do that. If clubbing is cool, they'll do that. If getting stoned is cool, they will do that. You know, in the 70s, that's all they did. People took drugs. All the clubs were full, like the disco era. How do you think we have so much crackheads on the street and some of them, they know they can't come back. So they're just waiting for them to die off. Because in the 70s, the amount of drugs that people took because they had this crazy movement, live fast, die young, all those crazy things. So they were living a fast life. Everybody was getting high and doing all of this stuff and they left them in a certain place now. So whatever is cool. So now the spirit of the age is this whole alternative alphabet lifestyle where people are just latching on because it's being publicized. Anything that is promoted will be replicated in society. Why do you think everybody drink Pepsi and Coke? It's not because it's just good. They do a great job promoting it. Pepsi commercials are always full of young people having a good time. You know who love a good time? Old people. So old people go and drink Pepsi. Because it is promoted. So anything that is promoted, people will latch on. Because people are looking for an identity. They're looking for a clique to identify. They're looking for a place to fit in. But if we as the children of God will do a good job in our home and show our children that we are not worried about life. We have a life that we're living. Oh my God, in Him I live and I have my existence. In God I live. This life I live in the flesh. I live it by faith. We don't have to worry about our children, man. It says, don't worry about your life. Your children are a part of your life. He said, train them up the way they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart. But we're worried about life and we're not training our kids. We're worried about living up and keeping up with the Joneses and giving our children this, that, and that. But we don't sit down with them and do a Bible study. We don't sit down with them and say, oh, guys, we fasted. What did you get from this fast? We don't do a recap like that. We recap their homework. We make sure in the morning homework is done. Or some of us are so responsible. Parents, you're beautiful. You check your kids' homework and you make sure, you know, the teacher asks you to sign their test. You sign the test. You put it in the folder. You make sure the folder is in the bag. And little Johnny goes off to school. And the teacher says, oh, your parent is a very responsible parent. Wow. Wow. Very involved. Amazing. Yes. But you're not checking in on their spiritual life. You're not drawing them and say, we're going to pray together. We're going to sing together. You know why they don't want to sing? Because you're not singing with them. When they were little, you taught them to count. You taught them the ABCs of life, ABCs of the alphabet. But nobody teaches them, serve God with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. You know, there's a lady in here, she wakes her kids up every morning like some crazy 5:30 every morning to have devotion with them. Call her crazy, but she knows what she's doing. Yeah, she knows what she's doing. She is just being responsible. The Lord says, train them up in the way they should go. So if you don't have time in the afternoon, find it in the morning with them. We grew up, we had devotions in the house all the time. My dad doesn't know how to play the guitar, but he was playing the guitar. My parents don't know how to play music, but they play music because they're playing it unto the Lord. They're making melodies in their heart first, and then they bring it out, and they make it unto the Lord. So I'm telling you, don't worry about life, but start living. God wants to bring us up to a whole new level, church, where we are living in the kingdom. And we're not just existing. There's a difference with living, and there's a difference with existing. When you're living, you're making a difference. You are moving. You are accomplishing. Things are changing. Things are turning in the right direction. But when you're existing, you're like a dead fish going upstream, downstream, upstream, downstream, wherever. But God wants to talk to us today. Don't worry about what you shall eat. Don't worry about your life first. You know, Jesus put it right in place. He said, don't worry about your life. Your life is in my hand. Your life is in my hand. In life or in death, you are in my hand. And the word of God says, no one is able to pluck you out. Meaning no one can pull you out of God's hand. He says, your names are written on my palms. Imagine something's in your palm. Every time you move your hand, you see it. Your hand is coming, you see it. You see it. God is aware of you. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry what you'll eat. Don't worry what you shall drink. Nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more? Come on. Is not life more than food? Isn't the body more than raiment? You know what your body is? The Bible says that your body is a temple. Don't go there. Your body is a temple. How do you treat the temple? You have reverence when you get to the temple. You have reverence when you go to the temple. You don't do any and anything in the temple. When you come to church, none of you jump on the chairs. None of you sit and scratch your head. None of you put your foot up on the seat and lounge around. None of you lay down on the chair and say, I feel good, I can relax now. No, because you're in church. This is the temple. So when you come here, you have reverence. You reverend the atmosphere. The Bible says your body is a temple. So now you should have reverence for this body. You are the temple of God. So you should not mistreat this body. You should not do things that you shouldn't do with this body. You should not abuse it. You should not make it open to any and every activity, because it is a temple, meaning it is set apart unto the Lord. Your body is set apart. You know, they locked the doors of the temple at a certain time. Not anybody could go in and out. Not anybody who want to come in these doors. Not only when we have church, you can come here. Because this is the temple of the Lord. We don't do anything. We don't talk any and everything. We don't do whatever we feel. We don't sit and watch TV and have all kinds of lootings in here. No. Because it is set apart for the purpose of God. Why it is we feel that with this body, we can say whatever we want, whenever we want. We can go wherever we want, do whatever we want. We can let whoever in and let whoever out when we want. We are the temple of the Lord. Listen, this morning, I am believing God that from this sermon, he's going to elevate us to a whole new level. He's going to bring a revelation of what it means to live in his kingdom. He says, you are bought with a price. You know God paid for you? You know he paid for you? And he didn't pay for you so you could do whatever you want. He paid that, number one, you will get saved and you'll be born into his kingdom. And then you will seek something. We're going to get to that. He says, hallelujah. The body is more. So we are the temple of the Lord. We ought to take care of our bodies in the kingdom. Is not life more, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather any into barns. Yet who? Your heavenly Father, we're in verse 26. Your heavenly Father, what he does? What he does? He feeds them. So if God feeds the birds of the air, which of you, Sarian, by worry can add one cubit to your stature? Meaning, it don't matter how much you worry, you can't make yourself get taller. You know, some of us worry that we're short. Nobody wants to be short unless, you know, you have a great revelation of what shortness is. But nobody really wants to be short. Some of us just end up short. And we're so worried about who's going to like us. You know, even midgets fall in love. And some of them get married to tall people. You know why? He or she knew who they were. You know, you can be tall and still wonder who would love you. I had that problem growing up. When I was in my teenage years, I always wondered if anybody would love me. You might think it's crazy, right? Because I kind of look all right. But guess what? It does not stop the enemy from infiltrating my mind. Mind. That's why we got to conform. That's what we're singing. Take my mind and do what? Conform it. Conform it to what the word says. Conform it to what, so I can now see myself through the eyes of Jesus and understand that I am his masterpiece. Amen. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am royalty because my daddy is the king. But if you don't know that, you're going to be over here like teenage Pastor Sam, wondering who's going to love him. If I could have spoken to that boy, I would have said, you're such a fool. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Look into the word, young man. See what the word of God says about you. Look into the word, young lady. See what the word of God says about you. Look into the word, middle-aged woman. See what God says about you. Middle-aged man, see what God says about you. And if you're a senior, look into the word and see what God says about you. Somebody should give him a hand right there. So, struggles are real. But we ought to be transformed. Let the mind of God reign in us. Amen? All right. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Can I tell you, only pure things interest God? Purity catches the eyes of Jesus. Solomon was well adorned, but Solomon was a little messed up. He was rich, but he was sidetracked by riches and power and by the lust of his eyes and the lust of his flesh. So as much as he was well adorned on the outside, when the Lord looked at the lily, which he created, that did not indulge in the things of this world, the lily was just there existing for beauty's sake. The lily did not move its location. It was found. It had a root. It was stayed. And God looks, we will look at Solomon and try to picture him on his throne in all of his royalty. And we were like, wow. But God goes and says, sinful, wretched man. Broken, misused, abused. Poor choices, because it's the same Solomon that turns back and says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All are vanity and vexation of spirit. But God is saying, if we want, you know the word of God says, only the pure in heart shall see God. Only the pure in heart will see God. So what we see, the external things that we consider so beautiful, we look at people and we desire to be like them. We look at models and we want to look like them. We wish we can make the I wish I could make the magazine GQ, you know. But guess what? You know the troubles that come with GQ? You know, last night I saw a 58-year-old actor. They found him dead in his bathtub. We all know who he is. We all like him because he's quite hilarious. We all brought him into our homes and enjoyed his acting. But today he is dead. Now, we're not gloating over that and saying we're better, but I'm just showing you what comes with certain things we desire. The pressure. You know, preachers commit suicide because of pressure. And many of them probably wish they never got famous. I'm not saying it's not good to get famous. If you can manage it, praise God. And you don't get sidetracked by it. But they're probably looking back now. Many of them lose their platforms because of the influence they had and they made a mistake. They're probably saying, boy, it's better I had kept my platform and never got famous. I kept the throne but remained unknown. Because there are many generals of the faith that we do not know. that have held on to their throne or their platform from their early 20s late to their 80s, and they made a great impact. I want to tell you, what fascinates God more than anything is purity. Walking in submission to the Spirit of God. And it's an everyday thing. Every day you wake up, you say, Lord, I submit to you today. Before you, in the middle of the day, you remember, you say, Lord, I submit to you. When temptation comes your way, you're like, Lord, I submit to you. Listen, if you're not tempted, you're not breathing. You're dead. And if you don't notice temptation, you are reprobate. Take that from Pastor. If you do not recognize temptations, that means you're already indulging. You come to a reprobate place. That's a little strong. I'm sorry. The lilies were so beautiful to him. Because what? The lilies did not worry, nor did they indulge. All right, we're going. Now, if verse, what is that? 30 now. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not what? Somebody say that word. Will he not much? He will not what? Much. Not in a simple way. But you are his priority. You, a few words I want you to take away here. Don't worry, but much. Don't worry, but much belongs to you. Much care, much consideration, much thought. You are on the thought of the king. He thinks about you. You know, last night I was reading, I believe it's Proverbs 23. And it says, everybody wants to be in the thought of the king. Because the king can do good and the king can do evil. Meaning, he has the power to bless you, but he also has the power to wipe you out. So you want to be on the good side of the king. You want the king to think about you in a good way. The Bible says here, much more would God not clothe you. Oh, you of little faith. In the kingdom it says, now they that have been justified shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, he's saying here, don't be of little faith. Don't lack confidence in God. That's what he's trying to say. You need to walk around with a confidence, knowing that God will supply all your needs. Because in the kingdom, that's how it works. Now, let's go to our scripture, verse 33. It says, so we talked about not worrying. We understand that much will be given. Don't worry about your life. We have the but. Back to the but now. But he says here, but seek. He showed them that God will take care of them. He showed them they don't have to worry about their life. He showed them that God will take good care, much more you, meaning you are preferred. You know, when we travel, we want to have the preferred seats because they have more leg room. We desire it. Sometimes we just can't afford it. I'm serious. I don't like to pay the $32. You know what I do? I board last. Let me tell you. I board last. So when I get into the plane and up front their seats, I do what? I pull in and I sit. Because what I don't want to pay the extra. Sometimes it's $75. When I was coming back from Tulsa the other day, they wanted $75 for an extra legroom seat. You know what I did? I board last. It's up to you. I still got my $75 in my pocket. I board last and I get a good seat. The Bible said the first shall be last and the last shall be. But seek what? Seek. But is God trying to bring alignment to us? He said, this is how life works. People worried. People are seeking to live for themselves and live for what they can achieve. But Jesus then brings alignment to his church and to his people. He says, but seek first. Seek means to go after. Hello? If you are seeking a mate or a wife or a husband, what you're going to do? Stay in your house? You're going to lay in your bed? No. You go seeking. With seeking, there is action. Hello? Anyone ever played hide and seek? The person that is catching or seeking, it's hide and seek. Two things are happening. One is hiding and one is seeking. The one that is hiding is still in one place and very quiet. But the one that is seeking is searching, is looking over obstacles, is going to weird places, hoping to find. So the thing is, when you come into the kingdom, you cannot just sit down. You have to go after God. You have to see. The Bible says, seek him while he may be found. The book of Isaiah, call upon him while he is near. Do you know there is a time that is coming that you're going to look for God and you will not find him? In the book of Revelation, it said they will run and hit their heads on the wall, crying out for God. I want to share this story with you. It's a sobering story. There was a young woman that came to my dad's church, maybe back in the 80s or early 90s. Maybe this was the 80s. And she was possessed with a demon. And they prayed for her. And she got delivered, but then she fell off. She went back to her life. And one day, in those days, there was no telephone. So you got to send a message to somebody's house. We grew up in the country again, where lizards fall on you. Right? Someone came and said, Sister Rena, that's my mom. Would you guys come and pray for so-and-so person? The demons are attacking her. Now, my dad was not home. Dad went to the city. That young lady ran from wall to wall and hit her head on the walls. Ran to a next wall, hit her head on the walls. Ran to another wall, hit herself on the wall until she died. The demons snuffed her out. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to show you how God has positioned us in a place of life. And God has secured us with his blood. We are preserved by the angels of the Lord. The Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp. That is why we cannot get caught up with external things and get caught up with the system of the world. But the Lord is saying to his people here, he said, but seek first. Seek first. God must be our priority. We want priority boarding. We want priority seating. We want the best this, the best that. We want da. But he's saying, when it comes to me, I must be your priority. Our jobs are awesome and important. I want all of you to excel on your job. I want all of you to do great. I want all of you to become the boss. I want you to own your own business. But you got to see God before your job. The deception the devil tells us that if we don't have our job, we're going to die. And if we don't have our job, what will people say about us? I will be a loser, this, that, and the other. Listen, this is a real world, I know. But in spite of all of that, the Bible says we must seek God first. Even in your relationships, your husband and your wife, they're not more important than God. Hello? If you're single, you're in a good position. You got no pressure. Most times, single people want to be married. Married people want to be single. Paul said, I wish all of you would be single. You know that? You know Paul said that? You know why? We'll be able to be used by God. Yeah, we'll be able to be used by God more because you don't have no responsibility. You're like an angel and all you're doing is going about preaching this good news. I want to tell you, church, appreciate your singleness unless God says get married, get married. If not, don't put a square peg into a wrong hole. We find too many of us find our identity based on who we're hooking up with. Why you think girls like men with expensive cars? Because when they go in there, they feel good. And I think some guys like the older ladies with the car too. And the house. You don't have to work for it. Why are you laughing up here, Brother Robin? Yes, because it makes you what? Feel good. But the word of God is saying to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the system of God. Seek first the system of God. You know what a system does? It saves you. The acronym system. It saves you stress. S-Y-S-T saves you time, it saves you energy, and it also saves you money. If you live in the system of God, take that acronym and roll it over into your life, you're going to save yourself a whole lot of stress. Because you're not living by your strength, you're living by the strength of the Spirit. We're going to go deeper into this series as we continue, but I'm just opening it up to you. And next week we're going to talk, you know, what we do in the kingdom, how we live in the kingdom, how what we don't do in the kingdom for the next couple weeks. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what's going to happen? All these things shall be added unto you. Now, another one. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what I want you to leave here with today, we seek the kingdom first. In the kingdom of God, he is priority. Hello? You're walking out these doors and those online, you're switching off the stream with a renewed mind. You're living in the but. Before this, you worried about all external things. But now you are concerned or you're prioritizing spiritual things. We're going to work on how to do all of that as the series continues. But I want us to have the understanding that Jesus wants us to realign our focus from what we see to what we do not see. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. You're saying, how am I going to grow? That's not for you to worry about. What you're born into the kingdom. John 3:3 says, you must be born again. Once you're born in a kingdom, you have rights. You are an American. If you're born in America, you have American rights. You don't have to worry when you go to Social Security, your name is there because you were born here. Amen? So you are in the kingdom and you have a right to everything that the kingdom provides. Today, walk out these doors, making God your focus, making him your priority. in Jesus' name. Let us all stand today. Thank you, Lord. We're going to just do that song again. Holiness is what I long for. And I want us to just take a moment and just focus on the Lord. Say, God, maybe I've been prioritizing everything else. I've been putting everything else before you. I've been putting my career choices. I've been putting my girlfriend before you. I've been putting my boyfriend before you. I've been putting my studies ahead of you. I've been putting my job ahead of you. Some of us put our children ahead of God. We put our children. We put our friends before God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, holiness.